If parenthood came with a GPS, it would most likely just say recalculating. Join Yolandi Becker and her guest experts Wednesdays at 11 a.m. for Bump and Beyond, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Yes, it is time for Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting. I feel like, I mean, now we're entering it September. I mean, last week was already September, but anyway, we're entering September. And for me, always this last stretch of the year, it feels like you're already planning for the next year. And the pressure is starting to build up a little bit. There's lots of things you're already thinking of, December and Christmas and all those things. I literally was in the shop yesterday and there was Christmas decorations and I'm like, my head's not there yet. And even just thinking that I have to start thinking about it stresses me out. So it's like, yeah, so we know it's now getting into that time of the year where it's stressful and it's not like, yeah, there's a lot happening generally at the end of the year. And I mean, even my kids, they just finished. I mean, most public schools at the moment have exams, and because the schools are only ending, my kids' school is already ending next week. So they finished, literally my daughter yesterday with her last exam. She's 11. you know, it's, and I mean, I also went through it. I can remember testing when I was 11 and 12 years old. I can obviously remember that, but it really, like, as an adult now, I'm really like, is this the best way to get results out of children? Exams. I'm like, really, it's like, is it really necessary that they have this kind of stress? Because most children, even the chilled ones, even the really smart ones, often it's more the really smart ones, but there comes a little bit of stress that comes with exam time and these type of things. And I mean, and then we add on the 50,000 different activities that they have. Are we really helping this situation, in all honesty? And I mean, even just, I very often say that on the show, is that children don't do what you say, they do what you do. And let's face it, it's like our own behavior is filled with stress and anxiety. And that's what they see. They think that's what life is, us being stressed out and anxious and worried and I don't know what all. I mean, it's luckily not all the time, hence why I run a lot. But I mean, you know, in the end of the day, it's like we are living examples of this stress. And that's what our children see. But that's what we're talking about today, because we need to change something. We need to help our children cope with it, because it's inevitable. The world we live in, I mean, it probably was always stressful. I mean, now we're worried about I don't know what all. Back in the day, they were worried about dying before you're 40, I guess. So there was always something to stress about. That's just my point. I don't think stress is a new thing. But I do feel that there's a lot more happening and a lot more expectations that we put on ourselves and how we live our lives. And I sometimes feel like lack of sleep and, you know, if you ask someone, oh, I'm so busy, it's almost like you have to say it type of thing. Anyway, but we are talking specifically today about how can we parent through this pressure in our own lives that are super pressured and full of things and stressed out? How are we going to help our children and especially our teenagers? I mean, we live also in an era where like teen suicide rates are like, it's shocking because again, 12, I'm like thinking my son is turning 14 next year and kids at that age, how is that even a thought? And that's a reality that we're sitting with. So we need to help them to learn, because it's also a long-term goal. You need to be able to cope with the stress, and you need to, because stress is also not a bad thing. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. I've got the experts in again, as always, to help me to stop talking and to talk about this topic. So I'm joined by registered counselor Nicole van Niekerk. Hello, Nicole.
Hi, everyone.
Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for inviting me.
And it was actually so because I met Nicole, and we got talking to, I mean, she's a registered counselor, as I said. And then I actually thought, oh, she would be a great person to talk about this topic. And as I was talking about it, then she had sent me, she's doing a talk on helping teens also cope with specifically exam stress as well. More on that we can also talk about, but I literally got the right person. That's actually what I want to say, is that to talk about this, because it feels like it was meant to be.
Yes, absolutely.
But I mean, again, now I'm talking about this like it's normal. And I mean, we often hear that anxiety with teens is normal. I've got a preteen and a teenager. And sometimes when they tell me about their issues, then I'm like, it's real. But I mean, but how can we? I mean, again, there's stress and then there's stress and there's anxiety and then there's anxiety. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I always say to parents, like, there's a difference between feeling anxious and having anxiety, feeling stressed and having like depression or whatever, but there is a difference between those. But how do we as parents, especially with teenagers that are very moody, where sometimes you can't even have a proper conversation with them, how do we distinguish between what is normal and okay and when it's becoming a real problem?
So I think it's important to actually distinguish between what is pressure and when pressure becomes too much. So normal pressure is a strong motivator for us to get things done, to do better, to fulfill our potential, to get a better self-esteem. That's what releases our adrenaline and gets us going. But it's when that pressure becomes too much, like you said, it's exams and it's 500,000 other things that they are doing, and it's pressure from parents and pressure from friends and pressure from social media. That is when it becomes a problem. And it actually begins to halt their emotional growth. It lowers their self-esteem and it lowers their confidence, which in itself has a whole snowballing effect.
Yeah.
And then from there, we look at, okay, when does it become actual anxiety? So anxiety in teenagers, much the same as in adults, but I like to say it's in the excessive amounts. So if we think about changes in their sleeping or eating patterns, so sleeping patterns, either sleeping way more than normally or not sleeping at all, or eating patterns, binging food, which is a teenage thing, it happens, or completely losing their appetite. If we think about biting their fingernails or scratching excessively, that's typically an anxiety response. They become hypervigilant, so that typically means that they are nervous and jumpy and restless and they can't keep their feet still. And also concentration.
No.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Yes, if you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting, a little bit older children we're talking about today, especially navigating through this really stressful and anxious life we're living in, navigating things for our children and helping to support our teens through the stress of life in general. I think for me, just as an adult, I not often, but I do sometimes have moments where I feel like I'm not coping. So I feel like it's only just normal that our children are going to feel the same way. As always, I do want you to be part of this conversation. Do you feel super stressed out? Do you feel your children are very stressed out? Share with us some of your comments or questions if you have any for my guest today, who's Nicole van Niekerk. She's a registered counselor. She's got like quite a lot of experience as well. And I mean, it's really wonderful to talk with her. So please do send us a WhatsApp on 061-895-1019 if you have any questions. 061-895-1019. We would love to have your input and comments on this topic of coping with stress. But before we went to the ad break, we already started talking specifically about how do we tell the difference between normal kind of stress and when you need to, you know, when it's becoming a real problem. And Nicole was already mentioning things like, you know, difference in behavior with the sleeping, with their eating, nail biting, being a little bit agitated. And I mean, out of my personal experience with my son, it's a very long story that I'm not going to get into, but I mean, because it's going to take too long, and I'm very sure I've already shared some of this before on the show as well, where we had some, because he was really like, I mean, in some ways a typical 13-year-old mm-hmm. who had like very low attention, and we were thinking maybe he has a little bit of ADHD type mm-hmm. of things. Anyway, we got the help of an educational psychologist, and there was different diagnosis that happened. It's also very, anyway, let me not get into that. But honestly, just that, him being aware of what was happening made such a, and I mean, in all honesty, I would have never, like if you asked me to describe Oscar, I would have never said he's an anxious person. But after that, and after going through like all the treatment and whatever, in the end, you could see he was much lighter. So again, I don't feel he was necessarily anxious, but definitely just knowing. And that's why I'm like, you're mentioning some of these things, but mm-hmm. even to the best of us, it's not always easy to see these mm-hmm. things. So what are some, you were mentioning nail biting anyway, before I'm now interrupting the whole conversation.
I think some of the other things, a very obvious one, when I start getting panic attacks,
yeah,
that is a very typical yes. sign that anxiety is now in the, yeah. And then physical symptoms, unexplained headaches, unexplained stomach aches. It's often also a sign of real anxiety in adolescence.
No. See, and I mean, that's the type of things. And I mean, it's also sometimes even just for us as adults, hearing that. Because might again, like me, think now reflecting back, then I'm like, oh yeah, that is something that actually happened that I didn't notice. And hopefully this conversation might help you to think a little bit about it.
And like I said, it's the same in adults and adolescents, and we often ignore the triggers.
Yeah.
Because we think it's just, it happens. And yeah. It's part of life.
Again now, and I mean, again, I'm very sure that stress and anxiety is not a new thing at all. I think every era had its difference. I always say, like, we are very quick as parents now in this era saying, like, oh, we have like electronics and social media and all these things, which is real, of course not. But I mean, our parents also like raised us in a world that they didn't grow up in. Yeah. So I do think each year and each era has like things that you didn't have when you were younger. But I mean, yeah. Let's face it, there is things like social media, academics, and I mean, school, the amount of things that happen and activities, even just for me as an adult, I feel like a glorified Uber driver, private chef. And I mean, I really have to share this. My son, he told me he's living in the best life at the moment. He's in the best time of his life, which is great. I thought, but then I was like, why do you think so? He's like, why not? I have a personal driver, a personal chef.
How lucky.
It is very lucky. I do. And I had to agree with him that he has pretty good life, I have to say. But I mean, there's things like that, like social media, academic, sports, peer pressure, all those things are obviously some of the big drivers of stress. How does this add on to that? And I mean, also this expectation that's created for them.
Yeah, I think to add on to that, the absolute overemphasis on achievement, and that's a new thing. That's with this, the newer generations experience that. It's no longer a thing of, you know, get matric, go study, buy a house, start a family. Mm. It's a thing, get matric with 8 distinctions, get your engineering or medicine degree, and become a CEO of a company by the time you're 12. But it's also the material wealth that they are overwhelmed with on social media by influencers. What we see on social media is not real. We know that. But unfortunately, teenagers is not developed to the point where they can understand that it's not actually attainable. It's not actually real. So it does add to stress. How am I going to get there? Am I ever going to be able to drive a Lamborghini? Stuff like that. Something else that's also very relevant is a total sensory overload. We have TV, games, social media that's constantly taking up our space and almost robbing us of our silence and our space to reflect and really think about who we want to become, who we are, our actions. And then another thing is that's very big with our teenagers at the moment is social isolation, which you would think they have this massive online community, whether it's through gaming or through social media, but it's an online community and it's faceless. They lack the actual in-person connection that is needed for them to create healthy social and emotional development.
And I mean, that's also, even for me, during I remember during COVID times now, that it was just different for me. It was the physical touch and physical contact that you have with people, and I can see that. Absolutely. And I mean, I think we also, again, need to remind ourselves that even though they are talking and interacting with people, it is important that there is a physical connection with people that is also necessary. And I think sometimes as parents also, because it's a new thing for us, sometimes you tolerate a lot more of those type of things than what is maybe necessary or appropriate.
I think sometimes parents don't understand it. So there's a very big lack of understanding of what kids are actually doing online. And that's why it's so important to educate yourself, to really know what are the streaming services they're using? What is Discord? How are they connecting? Who are they connecting with? And check the screens, check the connections.
It's easier said than done as well. That I have to say, I've a preteen. My daughter is 11 turning 12 soon. Feels like she's turning freaking 17 or 16 soon. And then a 13, very soon 14-year-old teenager. And, less so with my son. At one point it was definitely a little bit more, also with him a little bit, but with her, definitely, it's already one moment I am amazing and literally I would ask her something else and it's almost a shutdown that happens. Yeah.
The door closes.
Where it's just so it's very often that I can see something is up, just the demeanor that she's walking towards my car. And it's sometimes I'm is it me? Or it has something happened type of thing. Yeah. But then you would ask, hey, how was your day? I'm fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. Mm-hmm. But how can you open up that conversation? Mm-hmm. Is there a trick to it? Or am I just a loser?
Patience.
I was afraid you were going to say that. I thought it was some magical carrot that I could be done with.
The trick is being there for them on their terms, not on your terms.
I don't like that answer.
Yes.
I'm too impatient for that.
Be there for them at the times that they need it and not the times when you are available. And that means physically and emotionally. So you are there in person and you're not on your phone, you're not busy with emails, you're not busy cooking, you're emotionally present with them when they do open the door. So that door closes very quickly and it opens seldomly with teenagers. But when they do open it and they know that you are there and there's a safe base, be there.
Okay. I mean, I've seen those little windows that I do have to say. Luckily, like I said, with Emmy, it's not that, it's more and more happening.
But teenage girls is also a completely different species from teenage boys.
I cannot agree with you more. And I mean, because I mean, I was telling Oscar something the other day, and then it's like, that would never happen with me. Because it's just like, I would not even bother with that. We're with little girl problems. Anyway, can't go into that in any detail because I will be banned from my house if I say anything more than that. But what role does like because for me, okay, and I preach routines and schedules for people all the time, especially with smaller children. I always preach this. But in all honesty, also with adults, and because lots of people, and especially the new era, you know, they want to be like, go with the flow and don't want to get, but people don't understand why routines and schedules and boring stuff is important in your life. It takes the thinking out of it. I have about a bazillion choices I have to make. So if I don't have to worry about brushing my teeth or picking up the kids or, you know, things like that, that is second nature to me.
Yes.
It takes the stress off of me.
Yeah.
To be able to, when I actually have to make a decision, because then I don't have decision fatigue. And that's what's the magic of routines and schedules. It's not to be boring.
Yeah.
It will help you to make less decisions because some things just happen. And is that for you, like when it comes to routines? But now let's also talk about things like sleeping regularly, eating properly, exercising properly. Yeah. It's like also like it's one of those things as adults, we know it's good for us. Yeah.
But and we don't want to do it.
How we get healthy. We still wonder about it.
Yeah. Yeah, this is something that, and I think it's been preached for many, many years, and it will be preached for many years to come. Where it comes from is that stress activates our fight or flight response in our limbic system. So when we are in a constant state of fight or flight, like you said, we get decision fatigue, we get overwhelmed, we get anxious, and the anxiety just becomes more and more. When we have routine, it's a safe base. It makes us feel safe. It makes us feel comfortable. Like you said, you know, it's second nature. You know when to go pick up your children. For a child, second nature, by 9 or 10 or whatever, I'm in bed, no phones, that is routine. I read a bit, whatever, in an ideal world. So absolutely. And I think especially with our kids that have anxiety, ADD, ADHD, our neurodiverse children, that is where routine becomes absolutely essential.
No. And I mean, that's like, I mean, that I have to say in our house again, like I said, I'm a pretty easily stalkable person. I feel like you can almost know exactly where I will be when. It's not complicated. That's how like, I'm very much a routine person and I like it that way in the end of the day. But it also makes a certain part of my life very easy in the end of the day. So it is something, but it is something that's also tricky because it doesn't come naturally to everyone. And even for me, I'm now saying I am like that. I don't feel I was always like that.
You had to learn it.
Once you work on it and again, I've seen it with Oscar, my own son. 12, 13 year, when he was 13, it just like, he just forgot everything. Like, I'm surprised he still breathed. Because it felt like he couldn't even forget how to breathe if it didn't happen automatically.
Yeah.
And we instilled and helped him to create certain things. And after time, it doesn't happen overnight. And still to this day, every now and then, I have to guide him again in the right direction to create those routines and have the lists, think of and plan a little bit for the future and give those type of things for them. But that brings me now to my next question. And I'm pretty sure we're going to not get to it before the ad break 100%. But and this is something I even struggle with quite a lot, is that you want your child to do well, and you want to encourage that, you know, if they come, you know, 65 is okay or whatever, but in the end, you want them to do well in school. How do you balance that? You know, like, because you also don't want to create pressure now of like, you have to do well at school. And I think you also have to have realistic expectations with your child. Not every child is 80%, 90%. But in the same breath, if you know the potential is there, how do you balance that?
So like you said, manage expectations.
Let's first go to our ad break. Rosh Hashanah, New Year, is a time to show appreciation and to thank people.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
If you've just joined me, you're on 101.9 Chai FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting and a very important kind of topic, and I've shared quite a lot about it as well, because I live in the world of stress and pressure and everything that's happening. And before we went to the ad break, my guest today, Nicole van Niekerk, is a registered counselor. We're talking about how do we help our children cope with stress and pressure. And my question was that, how do we navigate this, that you want your children to do well and you want to encourage them without creating this pressure of you have to?
So I started with having realistic expectations, first of all, understand what your child's capabilities are. If you're not sure about it, take them for a scholastic evaluation with an educational psychologist. But also understand if there's anxiety or if they're extremely busy, they won't have as much time to study as if they didn't have a million other things to do.
Yes.
And then another very interesting point, and that we don't always think about, is, and you spoke about it earlier, but what do we model to our children? If I'm a worried, self-critical, perfectionistic parent, my child will most likely become more anxious, more self-critical, and it will be harder for them to do well because they're so anxious. Yeah. Whereas if I'm a parent where I'm hardworking and motivated, but I try to live a balanced lifestyle, I have a good self-esteem, I'm self-aware, then that is modeled to my teen. And inherently, it becomes a way to encourage them to do better because they can look up to you.
Yeah. And I mean, sometimes things like that can sound very critical when we say things like you have to model the right behavior, because it becomes difficult as a parent to have that. So it sounds very, but in the same breath, the realization of that you do have power over this.
And you control, have the responsibility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To do this should feel empowering rather than.
Absolutely.
Debilitating is the right word, because that's not what we're not trying to say to you. You're stressed. We all have moments of stress, and that's also not a bad thing to model to your
children. They have to learn how to deal with stress.
Yes, absolutely. They need to see that you're sometimes stressed. Sometimes you snap,
absolutely,
and then apologize for your crappy behavior. Yeah. So that's also not a bad thing for them to see. But in the same breath, you need to be aware that if you're going to be overly critical on yourself, it is a behavior that you're modeling, and you need to work on that on your own.
And we call it mentalization. So when a parent is able to be self-aware about their own actions, their own responsibility that they have towards their child, how do they deal with conflict? How do they deal with stress? That is all mirrored to your child.
Yeah.
And they see it. They check you. They watch what you're doing the whole time.
And it is the truth. And I mean, now I have two people that look at their phone way too much. But anyway, let's not get into that conversation. now practically, like I said, lots of parents are actually, or children before, because we're running out of time very quickly. And now at the moment, lots of teens are going through exams. Mm. What are some like practical coping strategies that we can tell our teens to use?
So I always say start early. So I know end of the exams is still a while away for most children. Start now.
Yes.
The sooner you begin, the better. Figure out what works for you. Figure out if where in the house is your ideal study environment, where the light is perfect and the sound's perfect. And also your study methods. And that is something that I often teach children and adolescents, is to find their perfect way of studying, because not everyone studies exactly the same. We all have different studying methods. So figure out what that is, know what works for you, and use that. Be realistic and create a revision timetable, like you said earlier, but be realistic in that and balanced. We can't revise for 8 hours a day. We have to be balanced in the sense of, I have to go for a walk as well, or go exercise. Focus is on studying for that, for the exam, yes, but be balanced. And then within being balanced, try to still eat well, nutritious food, drink enough water, try to sleep enough. If you know you are an early bird and you study very well in the morning, go to bed earlier. If you know you study very well late at night, then you can sleep a bit later. And then ultimately be kind to yourself and learn from your mistakes.
I love that as well. Again, yeah. Also relevant to all of us.
Yes.
not just the teens. What is, from a parent's perspective though, how can we encourage them to kind of study and do their thing? Mm-hmm. You know, like, let me phrase it in, let's be mm-hmm. supportive phrases yeah. that we can give as parents mm-hmm. to, and what should we be avoid saying? It's like, go study now!
Typically something like mirror, so we mirror their emotions. To say something like, you seem overwhelmed. Is there anything that I can do to make it a bit easier? Or, you look anxious this morning. Do you feel prepared for your exam tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay. Because they start thinking, okay, but maybe I'm anxious because I didn't study enough.
No.
Okay, let's go study a bit more. What we avoid is saying things like, you are my star child. Remember that. Don't disappoint me, or don't come home with a poor grade. And then when they do get the marks, why didn't you study enough?
No.
So avoid being critical, avoid being very directive and almost imposing your own disappointment and your own feelings onto them. They are feeling disappointment, but disappointed. They're just not showing.
I mean, again, I also want to, as a parent, just say that this is, again, it's not, it doesn't always come naturally. No. It's a work in progress. And yes. I like some of the things that I've said to my children, and luckily it's now years ago.
We learn.
How I now realize it is a lot different. And that's also something I want to just say to you. Don't, you're not always. Sometimes it is like when they come, you are also disappointed. Mm. When they're, especially if it's something like a 40.
Yeah.
it's difficult not to be then, because you should also not be excited for that. You should also not be like, oh yeah, you got 40. Obviously not, but in the same breath, you need to it becomes, like I said, it's a work in progress.
And help them to deal with the disappointment.
Yeah.
I think we all, that's the earliest of life's disappointments that you can get, is to fail a test, right?
Yeah.
So how do I deal with it?
Do I sit
in a bag of potatoes and like, shit, now I can't do anything anymore?
Yeah.
Or do I go back and I study harder for the next test and maybe aim for a 50?
Yeah. Nicole, before you go, because we have run out of time, yes. You're going to have to come back. I've got like a whole gazillion other questions. How can people find you, and where can they find you?
So I am currently, my private practice is at our village, and it's in Garsfontein, and you are more than welcome to visit our website, and my contact details is on there.
Great. Thank you so much, Nicole, for joining me. It was wonderful talking with you, and you just make me feel a lot more calmer. That's the way it should be. So have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. Bye.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Hello. If you've just joined me, you have missed my show. This was Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And yes, the show is finished. But luckily for you, this show and all of my shows are available as a podcast on hivefm.com for you to go listen to today. Specifically, I talked about anxiety and how to help our children cope with anxiety. I do think it's helpful. It wasn't just helpful for knowing how to deal with our teens, but I think even for us as adults to think a little bit about these things, especially this time of the year as we're now moving to the last belt, where it becomes so busy with so many different things. It can be a stressful time. We don't always, you're not always going to get it perfect as a parent, and that's not the expectation at all. But realizing that we need to help our children and to mirror the behavior that needs to happen really makes a difference for them as well, because that's our jobs as parents, to teach them to become independent, self-sufficient people, adults, fully functioning adults. And one of those responsibilities is definitely learning to cope with stress, because that's our reality. They are going to have to. You can't avoid the stress. You can't not make it happen. It is part of life. Next week, I'm chatting with Kim Skierbert. She's from Moms and Babes and Moms and Tots. And we're going to be talking about screen time and the impact of screen time on small children, how to avoid it, how to not avoid it, how to incorporate it in a good way. So I look forward to that conversation next week. If we think about kindness as a tool, how can parents use kindness towards themselves, towards their teens, as a way to ease stress? Maybe to create resilience within the family. So, as always, until next time, go out there and be kind.